Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Text us anytime you'd like. Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line 412-928-9370. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. And with that said, we welcome in Neil Walker, brought to you by A-Plus Concrete and Foundation Repair online. It's A-Plus Concrete Foundation Repair.com. Neil, a very good morning to you. How's everything?
Good morning. How's everything going?
Good. It's just me and Jim today. Yeah. Chris on vacation. We're watching this Olympic baseball game, 6-5, the Americans on top of the Japanese. We wanted to ask you, because I don't think we've ever had this conversation on the air. What kind of guy, and you know him a little bit, what kind of guy do you find to Todd Frazier to be? It seems like everybody I talk to in baseball says Todd Frazier's a really good dude. Do you echo those sentiments?
Well, it's funny. He's one of the rare guys that that's my age that I've outside of playing against him when he was with Cincinnati and a couple other stops along the way. I don't know him. I don't really know him at all, to be honest with you. But from a lot of guys I hear, he's a gamer. He's a guy that loves to play the game, loves to win, loves to rally the boys, loves to to do the whole thing. So I know that what I hear, he's got these guys in a real good place, and he's leading this group. So to see them, they're in a little nail biter right now, and I was watching it just a minute ago, and hopefully they find a way to pull this thing out.
Since I guess you were kind of in between at the time, but did you have an opportunity to do this, and would you have liked to have done this had that opportunity presented itself to be on this team?
Yeah, because I'm looking at this roster. I see Todd Frazier. I see David Robertson.
Anthony Carter's like 35
Carter.
Years old.
I see guys that are contemporaries of yours. Why is Neil Walker not in Tokyo playing for this team?
Well, to be honest with you, yes. I had a handful of conversations with Mike Socha and with a couple of the USA team directors, and the issue for me was the preparation period. I mean, I if I was in camp with somebody and didn't make the big league roster, or maybe made the big league roster, whatever the case may be, obviously you can't be on a 40 man or big league roster to play, but I would have had to essentially for the months of half of April, May, and June get prepared for the qualifier, and then would have had to continue to play somewhere for the months of July, the end of June and July to get prepared for the Olympics. And, basically if I had been in spring with somebody, and something would have happened and I wouldn't have made a team, I probably would have grinded it out for the year to play on the USA team. But the fact that I wasn't in spring training, and then it got into the season, and I kind of got to the point where I had to, make a decision. So that opportunity was on the table, which would have been a blast, but I just didn't think it was fair to myself or fair to Team USA from a preparation standpoint, just based on my specific environment leading up to that.
Patently un-American, and really just a ridiculous thing, Neil. I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't think you can go to 4th of July picnics anymore. No. I don't think you'd celebrate with fireworks. I don't like it. You had an opportunity to play for our country, and you failed. I don't like it. I don't like it one bit. In that vein, you've been watching some of the Olympics. What do you make as a former professional athlete and needing to get prepared? And we've talked about this with Morton, with a bunch of different guys, and even yourself, a mental strength coach. What do you make of the Simone Biles story? And she's coming back tomorrow to now perform in one event. What do you make of all that?
Yeah, it's such a polarizing conversation, as somebody that played at the highest level of my sport for a period of time, you can certainly understand the grind that goes along with not feeling fully prepared, the mental side of sports, and it's different for everybody, and you respect her how she felt and what she had to do, and you hope that she's in a good place now, both physically and mentally, to compete at the Olympics. And you know, you just, you hate to see the kind of go between, you know, between things you hear from guys like Novak Djokovic and some of these things where people are essentially not attacking her, but, you know, attacking her, not necessarily her character, but her toughness. And anybody that kind of knows her story in particular and a lot of athletes' stories at the top level, you know, it's never as simple as you're the best, you work hard, and everything is rainbows and sunshine. So, you know, like I said, I hope you hope she's in a great spot to compete for this, for our country, and you know, and you hope that the awareness of the mental grind and the physical grind is a little bit brought more to light just in the professional sports world, because it is a major, major piece of any sport, but particularly at the highest level that she's on.
Well, Neil, I get, you know, from what we know from the outside and stuff, is like she's in midair, she's doing twists and turns, and she lost her awareness and didn't know where she was, how she was going to land. And I don't think this is exactly the same, but I think there are some similarities. When you had concussions, because she basically, as I see it, she's putting herself at risk if she loses her awareness in midair, doing all these twists and turns and doesn't know where she is and how she's going to land. That's a dangerous situation. When you had concussions and you finally came back, did you ever get to, how did you get over that point of oh, is this going to happen again? Am I explaining that correctly?
Yeah, you know, that is an interesting conversation, because I've played with guys that have had vertigo. I've played with guys that have had bad concussions. I got knocked out, I think, in 2010 in Oakland by, you know, Ryan Church, and ended up and basically woke up, not woke up, but kind of came to when I was in the hospital, like, what the heck happened? And for me, I was really fortunate, because by the time that week was over, I was in a pretty good place, but it was really scary. I mean, light sensitivity and sound sensitivity for the first 3, 4, 5 days in my experience was really scary, because you couldn't really get your bearings when you sat down. If you got up too fast, your mind and body was telling you, whoa, what are you doing, man? You need to take a break. So, you can certainly understand her concern. And players and concerns when they have head injuries or have anything that's going on with the brain. So I know that it's just such a scary thing and something that should not be taken lightly.
Neil Walker joining us here in his weekly spot. We love talking to him. Follow us on Twitter at 937 The Fan, driven by Jim Shorkey Kia, Wexford, North Huntington, Uniontown, Pittsburgh's number one Kia dealer. Visit ShorkeyKia.com. Okay, the Pirates make a move or two at the deadline. Frazier's not here. They draft exactly who they want to draft. They get the kids to not play football and sway them away from that. All right, let's say that you're back in Pittsburgh and you're walking in the Strip District or something, and I'm just going to put it to you this way, and somebody stops you and they say, hey, you're Neil Walker, you're the Pittsburgh kid, hey, all of that. They grab you and they say, Neil, when should the Pirates contend for the playoffs again? I mean, I'm a fan. When realistically do I think that the Pirates should be in playoff contention again? How does Neil Walker answer that question?
You know, that's a really good question. I mean, this is obviously, Ben Cherington he's got a plan. He's got an approach. He's, you know, essentially tearing it down to the studs, and he's going to put what he feels like his best opportunity for 2022, 2023, 2024 together. So I think we'll have a better idea going into next spring training, what he feels like the core of this team looks like for the next 2 years. And obviously you have to have players develop, especially at the high A, double A, triple A level over the next 2 years, to get to the place where you have a nice core of really talented players. And then that's when he can start to add these veteran pieces, not unlike what 2013, 14, and 15 looked like for the teams that I was on. And so I think he has an idea when he wants to pull the trigger on that type of roster setup. But as of right now, it's going to be let the boys play, and I'm excited for it. And like you said, Colin, I'm as much of a fan as I am. Somebody that's been invested as a player and a fan in the past. So I'm looking forward to seeing how these players develop. I think they have a really good nucleus, albeit a small nucleus, a good nucleus of players that can lead this next wave of players. But the issue is going to be at the end of the day, how do these players develop? Are these guys going to develop fast? You know, you hope that the big arms don't have injuries at bad times when you're getting close to competing. So it's going to be a wild ride. But to answer your question directly, I think realistically you're looking more toward 2023, 2024 to see a competitive group of players in Pittsburgh Pirate uniforms.
I can't remember if I've asked you this question before, but especially after all of a sudden they're bringing in all these guys at from 19 to 25 into the organization. How do you expect Ben Cherington to and his staff to promote players from within? I know fast tracking is probably too easy of a way to say it. I'm sure that you believe that you were slow tracked when you were coming up through the previous administration. Did you have any inclination what they're going to do with some of these guys, particularly guys that are having decent years, say, right now in Greensboro or Altoona with mid-year promotions?
Yeah, and that's always kind of the big question in organizations that are quote-unquote rebuilding or trying to give guys opportunities. I don't have any, you know, as far as insider information, but what I believe is going to happen is, especially going into September, you're going to see a ton of different players getting opportunities, and they're going to be getting, you know, 3 or 4 days in a row worth of at-bats, and then another guy's going to get some opportunities. And it's essentially going to be, we're going to throw some stuff against the wall and see what sticks at the end of this year and see who leaves a really good impression going into next spring training. Then we're going to add some pieces and here and there going into next year, and we're going to see what cream rises to the top, per se. And you do that for a period of time, and you see what guys kind of end up being your leaders and what guys end up being your grinders, and you set your roster accordingly. So you're going to see some guys that you know, maybe in Double A right now and having good years, and maybe they get bumped up for the last month into Triple A and have a really good year. Maybe they get themselves 10 to 15 at bats come September in the big league. So, you know, for me, the guys that are in A ball right now, whether it be High A or Double A, you know, those guys, whether they can get bumped up for the playoff run in Double A, you know, you don't want to fast track those guys unless, of course, they're guys that were, you know, injury riddled guys that were drafted out of college. And, you know, they need to be kind of, you know, pushed. But, you know, you start to get to Double A and start to kind of get that under control and play well there. And you get to Triple A, in my opinion, which is the biggest jump, because you got guys that are bouncing back and forth from the big leagues. That's when you start to separate guys that can play and make adjustments. So I think you're going to see probably the max amount of players on the call-up roster in September, I would assume. And you're going to see a lot of different guys get opportunities. So whether that's going to make for kind of an uglier September, we'll see. But the fact of the matter is, where the Pirates organization is right now, that's how it's going to have to be done. Guys are going to have to get opportunities, and you're going to have to just see what cream rises to the top.
How much should Ben play in the preseason, Neil? A lot? A little? None at all?
I don't think he needs to play much at all. What? I think
all
he
right.
needs, I think he needs.
Now we have a conversation.
I think he needs a quarter in the.
Do you think he could go out there and play no snaps and be great?
Yeah, I do. I think that, you know, I think that the first game could be a little rusty, but I think that he is so in tune with what he's doing, and I think that he's well over this arm issue, and I hope that the full off season form of no rehab and back on you know, his normal off-season schedule has him in a really good place. But, you know, you're always concerned about that weird hit or that weird, you know, he hits somebody's helmet with a throw, whatever that may be. So I like him playing as little as possible in preseason, because I have full faith that week one he's going to be prepared.
All right. Did you get season tickets? You squared away for your tickets this year for the Steeler games or what?
I don't have season tickets, but you know, I'm gonna get. I'll get
he knows people.
I know people.
He knows people.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Do you own it? Let me ask you. Do you own a terrible towel? Like, do you take the same one, or do?
Oh,
you,
yeah.
Okay. Do you, now here's a story here. Then do you take the same one that you've taken for X amount of years, or do you buy a different one every year? How does this work for Neil Walker? I mean, you're a Pittsburgh kid. Come on. How does
yeah,
it work?
Yeah. No, I got. So I've graduated from a Troy Polamalu jersey to a Juju Smith-Schuster jersey, which obviously is still hanging on strong. And I have a hat from when I was maybe 13 years old that is just absolutely beat to shreds that I wear every Sunday. And I have a terrible towel from this around the same time that gets washed every once in a while if I get some mustard stains or I got to wipe my face, at a tailgate or something. But for the most part, I can't change. Besides the jersey, I'm not changing the terrible towel or hat.
All right, perfect. So you go Juju. You're a Juju jersey guy. If Juju were to leave in free agency after this year, who is the next jersey? It's probably yet to be determined, but if I held you down right now and said you have to order a jersey for life after Juju, who would it be?
If you're holding it to me right now, a gun to my head, I'd say Claypool, with the potential of a Najee Harris somewhere in the background.
Nice. Okay, I like it. I like it a lot. There we go.
With the Claypool, yeah.
All right, Neil, take it easy. We'll talk. This terrible towel. Jim, you believe him? He has this terrible towel from when he's like 11?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, I think our kids still have theirs.
Yes.
I'm sure they do.
Neil, you know, I break mine out during football season and put it in the man cave downstairs and put it on the back of the couch there and just let it sit there all football season. It's a big move. It's like
I love that.
It's like an Afghan.
Just as long as you don't have your couch wrapped in plastic as well.
No, I'm good. I'm good there. All right, Neil, we'll talk again next week. Appreciate it.
All right, guys, you have a great week.
All right, bye. You too. We'll see you. Wow. The Juju jersey. Now, that, you know what? That's going to cause a rift in our city right there, that clip, because Neil Walker is the epitome of act like you've been there before. Hand the football to the official.
We'll have to get into this with him as everything progresses here, because, you know, that gets into the older man wearing Steeler jersey, and yet Neil, I mean, there are older men that wear his jersey.
Yes.
I'll
let it slide. He's a professional athlete.
Right.
He's been
there.
He
can do whatever he
wants.
But
I'm talking about that dynamic of personality between hand the ball to the official, act like you've been there before, no celebration, all grit.
You're telling me Neil's not on TikTok?
I don't think that he is. He struggles to be on Twitter. So that being said, the fact that he has the Juju jersey, some people, I mean, this is what it's all about. Neil Walker having the Juju jersey. Wow, am I into it.
That's hot news. That's breaking news right here.
That is breaking news. Yeah. I like it. All right, we get into lots more Steeler-wise. Will you keep an eye on this hot? It's almost over, this baseball game. USA, which Neil Walker declined an opportunity to play for.
I noticed there was this David Robertson.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I'm thinking that name sounds familiar.
He pitched
and
for the Yankees.
I know.
Right?
Neil must have faced him at some point, probably not a whole lot. But I, by the time I saw that, he was telling us he had a Juju jersey, and so I couldn't really break in and ask about that.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.